Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. One more hour to go. We'll get some of DRS's division around best bets later on in this final half hour of our final hour on TEL. Tom Vecchio, TV Tom, joins us in just a moment for his prop perspective for division around weekend. So much to dive into here, DRS, in this third and final hour.
Yes, good stuff here. Just the primers. We are so excited for football this weekend. And keep in mind, once again, it doesn't end on Sunday. Like, oh, we got to wait a week. You have a national championship college football game on Monday to set the stage for NFC, AFC championship week. And then we get the lull. Then we get the Super Bowl. So there's plenty of football left to get to. But just the anticipation, which is usually my favorite week in football, the divisional rounds where the big boys come out to play. The top seeds are here. We are getting great football. Yeah. At least we hope that for the majority of these games. But again, looking forward to next weekend. It just might be so epic that I don't even know if we can watch or even handicap basketball for another week, Ben. It's just impossible to do with this good of football here. It needs all our attention on football only.
We got to talk a little bit of basketball here in this third and final hour, so put on those handicapping heads and get ready to go. But DRS, before we do that, we love hearing from the people. What is their approach to divisional round weekend? How are they seeing the betting board at this moment when it comes to points? We know the public generally loves to bet overs, but we didn't see a ton of overs to start off the NFL postseason. Wild card weekend, 5 games of 6 to the under. Might we see more offense and points come the divisional round? Let's find out in our 4 matchups in Fade the Public. Which NFL divisional round game is most likely to go over its total? Now, we've got some substantial spreads and a couple of spots that feature some pretty lofty totals, namely 55.5 for Saturday night inside Ford Field between the Lions and the Commanders. North of 50 for what we all expect to be the best game of the divisional round weekend in Buffalo, the Bills and the Ravens, 51 and a hook. Eagles, Rams, two great defensive displays in the opening round. But a total working its way up now to 44 and a hook for our first game of 2 on Sunday. The opening game of 4 this weekend inside Arrowhead, Kansas City and Houston, our lowest over-under at 41.5. So of all of those 4 games, Donnie, which game does the public like the over the most? The highest total on the board, 55.5 in Detroit between the Lions and the Commanders. Is Donnie Wrightside fading the public?
No, I'm not. I love it. Standing ovation for the public right now. And credit to them, because usually you'd see, say, let's just say every game was 45, Ben, like even playing field, and we're not even looking at totals. Like, which game is just going to be the highest scoring game of the week? Of course, you would pick the Commanders and the Lions, and rightfully so, it's the highest total of the week that we have. But at the same time, people would look at that and be like, 55.5. Like, everything has to be perfect. No way I'm going to take the over, at least my favorite over at this point, to have 38% of the public voting that way. I voted the exact same way. In a dome, two offenses that can get after it. We're not kicking field goals in this one. This honestly does have the best chance to go over, even though it's the highest total of the week. So I want to shout out to people voting on this one that just didn't see that number. Like, there's a really good chance it stays under because it has that many points. Like, no, there's a legitimate chance that we get the 55.5 and get the over. I like where the public's going. I agree where the public's going. The best chance to get over, that's the Commanders and the Lions, even at the 55.5.
It is really fascinating to examine that public and natural thought, if you will. Well, it's 55.5 with the Lions, who have played in a ton of overs this year and are the highest scoring offense in the NFL, averaging better than 33 points per game, averaging more than 37 points per game in their final five. Detroit could go out there and score 40 against this Commanders defense. But we know Washington, of course, can keep pace under in the opening round against Tampa, but they also had the highest total of divisional round weekend, also north of 50. Highest total, best offensive matchup. Of course, we could see a ton of points. But then naturally, Donnie, you mentioned the other side of that equation. It's 55.5 for a play. This game could feature 52 points, and we still stay under by a score. I actually looked at the Ravens and Bills game, 51.5. Now, I know it is going to be bitterly cold in Western New York, 9 degrees by the time we get to kick, basically on Sunday evening in Orchard Park, is going to feel a lot colder than that. But if the defenses are the ones that don't want to tackle, and I'm not saying they are going to lay out instead of trying to hit Derrick Henry or Lamar Jackson or James Cook or Josh Allen, that allows the offense to dictate the pace. If there is any game, in my estimation, that pushes to the over and it's north of 50, I actually think it's the Bills and the Ravens. But this is called a fade the public poll. 18% on the Chiefs and the Texans, lowest total of the weekend. 15% only on the Rams and the Eagles, 44.5 for the two best defensive performances, perhaps, that we saw in the opening round. And yet, a total that it's working its way up and the public is avoiding it. That sounds like a fade the public special to at least see 45 points on Sunday afternoon DRS at the link.
See, I think they voted correctly. Like, that's where I go with this and I take a look at it. Because I think the Commanders and the Lions could have the possibility to be the high scoring and we get that vote. I like that here because I think the confidence from the public is lining up with what I think is going to happen. At the same time, you're also looking at the public going, okay, Matthew Stafford, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Kyron Williams, elite wide receivers, elite play callers, elite coaches in an environment that shouldn't be all that bad of weather. I think it's kind of interesting that the public voted at least amount at 15% for that game to go over. Because I thought maybe the easiest choice would have been like, at least put the Texans and the Chiefs ahead or below them, figuring that, okay, Kansas City, cold weather, the Texans, maybe it's not that explosive. I like the fact that now I'm seeing that the public is saying the Rams and the Eagles probably not expecting to go over. And 44.5 is a decent number here. Based on what we've seen, and we analyze this game, we look at the defenses, we went over the number one for the Eagles, how well the Rams are playing down the stretch. I like this. I think the public nailed this poll right here. It's exactly the way it should be voted on. So give the public some love today.
Right, and that makes sense. And if you believe they nailed it and they got the votes correct, then you're not fading the public at all. But we often see when there is a very public side or a lot of public attention on one and not nearly as much attention paid to the other, well, that's when we can take advantage if we do believe there is an edge. For instance, Joe Lisi's favorite over now, of course, is going to be over 44.5 in Philadelphia. DRS, 6 games during wild card weekend, 5 unders. The highest scoring game was in Houston. It featured a total of 44 points. It was the only game that pushed over, and that total was 41.5. We've got 4 divisional round matchups this upcoming NFL playoff weekend. In total, how many go under? How many go over?
I mean, again, law of averages probably, right? 50-50, they go up. But for me, I'm actually saying here, 1 game goes over, 3 stay to the under this weekend. That's where I'm going.
I'm going to go 3 go over, 1 stays under. Completely opposite of DRS.
Intel.
I think our under is in Detroit. I think our over, plural, are in Buffalo, in Philadelphia, and in Kansas City. Chiefs, Texans, over 41.5. Feels cheap, doesn't it?
Look, that's interesting. So you got the dome game staying under and the outdoor element games going over. It'll be fun to watch it play out, and this is what makes it great. And we're expecting action. As you take a look at the Saturday games, we hope they stay close, but the Sunday games look like they could be a couple games for the ages, Ben.
We're back on the early line with TV Tom next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. It's time to dive into that early prop perspective for divisional round weekend with the best to do it. That would be TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, live right here on TEL. Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the time. We'll go through all four division round matchups, how you see these games playing out based on the numbers, and where you think some of those prop edges might be for this wonderful weekend of football.
Of course, thanks for having me. And some of these lines have already been moving. You know, when I did the recap show on Sunday night after the Commanders win over the Bucs, and I was talking about some of the early lines that I saw, no pun intended, again, second time in a row, but some of the early lines for those players, and they've already moved like 4, 5, 6 yards in some cases. So we have a lot to get to.
Yeah, we certainly do. And Vecchio, let's start with what we all expect to be the best game of the weekend. In Orchard Park, it's the Bills and the Ravens. Basically a pick'em, just a few cents of difference on the money line. A total north of 50 at 51 and a hook. If the numbers do back up what we see in this game, and it's close, highly competitive, and high scoring, what's the best angle to look in the prop market?
Well, I don't think it's going to be high scoring. That's part of where like a lot of my my breakdown for the starts, where I don't think it's going to be that high scoring. It's also going to be extremely cold. So we have to factor in a little bit of the weather. It may not be a ton of precipitation, but it's going to be extremely cold. I expect the Ravens to come away with the win. And I think that leads to a lot of carries for Derrick Henry. We have to look at this. Like, what did the Ravens learn last year from the AFC Championship game against the Chiefs? It's like they strayed away from what they want to do most, which is run the ball. And now they have that option with Derrick Henry in the backfield. So, A, I like Derrick Henry over 19 and a half carries. I don't love the yards just because the yards have moved up from 91 to 92 up to 95, 96. But I love the over on attempts, because if they stick with the run game with Derrick Henry, that should be their path to victory. And I don't think the Bills will be able to stop them on the ground. That also leads to Lamar under 28 and a half passing attempts. Having the ball in his hands is going against what they learned from last year. They need to stick with what they know best.
No, I agree with that. And I do think it is. We have a tendency to have a lower scoring game in that game. Two ground games that should get after it. Fun times, no doubt about it. But the first game of the weekend is going to be between Houston and Kansas City. 8.5 as the line for the hometown favorite here. Kansas City Chiefs, the total 41.5. C.J. Stroud, Patrick Mahomes, you always have that major advantage, Tom, coming off the bye when the other team had to play in the previous weeks. What are you getting out of this game prop-wise and maybe side-wise as well?
So, you know, the one take I had was like the Chiefs win. They probably don't cover. They'll cover an in-game number if the Texans do get out to a lead. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if this game does kind of push towards the over, right? I think we're in a spot where I think the Chiefs, we know that they like aren't scoring 30 points on an every week basis, or however many weeks in a row they didn't score, you know, 30 more. But like if they push towards 28 or so, if we do see the Texans get to, let's call it 20, the Chiefs won't cover that number, but we are pushing towards that over. So that's what I like. Immediately on Sunday night, I said Joe Mixon under 62.5 rushing yards. That number has dropped to 57. So I'm just not expecting a big ground game from the Texans at all. I don't mind looking to DeAndre Hopkins for over 29.5 receiving yards. Yeah, he is going up against his former team, but they brought him in for a reason. Like, they brought him in to have this role in the postseason, to have that consistent pass catcher for Patrick Mahomes, like picking up those first downs as they apparently are converting every third down when Mahomes has the ball in third and long. Like, a couple 12-yard receptions from Hopkins can put him over this number. So I absolutely love Hopkins, and I don't mind ulting him up to 40 as well. So not a ground game for the Texans, and a good passing game from the Chiefs, and obviously they come away with the win.
I would keep an eye on Travis Kelce as well. 51.5 is the number. Even when he has faltered in regular seasons past, he and Mahomes, the most prolific postseason pair the sport of National Football League has ever seen. Becky, let's get to the first game on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, kick at the link. It's the Eagles and the Rams. 6.5-point spread in favor of Philadelphia. Total working its way up ever so slightly to 44.5. How would you approach the matchup in the divisional round in the city of brotherly love?
The over, I have a really tough time with because I just don't know how this will play out. I think the Eagles win. I don't think they cover. That's what it comes down to for me. I think that's what we're going to be seeing. It should be a very straightforward game from the Eagles. We know what works for them. It's keeping the ball in Saquon's hands, getting him 20-plus total touches, whether it's on the ground or when in the air, just get the ball in his hands. It's not going to be Jalen Hurts passing the ball 35 times. I expect a better game out of A.J. Brown. It's not just going to be 10 yards. I don't mind, you know, for him to find the end zone this week. But Puka Nacua, under 87.5 yards. I know a lot of people are going to look back when they played, I believe it was that Sunday night game, in the middle of the season, week 10 or whatever it was, and Puka like torched him. I think it was 117 yards exactly. The Eagles' defense is so much better over the past few weeks at limiting opposing wide receivers, picking up yards. So despite the fact that I think the Rams will be playing from behind, I just do not expect it to be a huge game from Puka. Maybe it'll be a better game from someone like Cooper Kupp, but I do not expect anyone to be flying over their numbers this week.
All right, taking a look there at Washington and Detroit. The showdown in Motown here. Almost a double-digit spread time at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yeah. -9.5 and a crazy high playoff total of 55.5. Daniels comes to town fresh off of getting his first playoff victory, which was on the road. Mm-hmm. Now he gets another road game against a rested and ready Detroit team. What are we anticipating here?
The Lions, as you know, one of my co-hosts, Adam Kaufman, likes to say, the Lions are just a freight train, especially at home when it comes to covering numbers, and you do not want to step in front of that. And covering 9.5 would not surprise me. Like, Daniels has been an absolutely awesome story this year. He's going to win Rookie of the Year. He has an amazingly bright future, but I just don't think he's going to come away with a second road win, and I do think the Lions will cover. The game will hit the under. I do not expect a ground game from Brian Robinson at all. He had 10 carries for 16 yards last week. His number was 46.5 last week. It's down to 37 or so this week. I do not expect him to be involved. I expect a decent role for Zach Ertz in this game. They have to get it. And I also like the attempts for Daniels. If they're going to be playing from behind and they literally cannot run the ball, he's going to have to get there. And the completions may get there as well, simply because he's been extremely effective at it, especially high completion percentage this year. So simply moving the ball and trying to play a little bit from behind, I think we'll get there. The only issue is if the Lions can have like 11, 12 play drives, especially with Montgomery back and just eating up the clock, that will limit Daniels' opportunities, but I do think they will be in a full passing game script the entire time.
Detroit should have David Montgomery back, but the odds still expecting Jahmyr Gibbs to carry the load offensively. 80.5, the rushing yards number for Gibbs. Knuckles, 45.5, the number for Montgomery, that being Sonic. Tom Vecchio, as always, we appreciate the prop perspective. Look forward to this division around weekend with you here on Sports Grid. Plenty more on the early line, including some NBA previews. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A short five-game slate on this Thursday evening around the association, but Donnie Wrightside is fired up. For the second time in basically 8 days, we see a matchup that could be an NBA Finals preview, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Why last week in the land was considered an NBA Finals preview and this just a marquee matchup with how liberally we throw out NBA Finals previews, I'm not entirely sure, but our producer extraordinaire, Joe Friso, making that executive decision. Last week in the land, DRS, it was the Cavs as a 2.5-point home favorite, winning the game 129-122, making a statement and covering as that home favorite. We saw a lot of points as well, going well over a number that closed around 229. 232.5 tonight in Oklahoma City, and now the Thunder, a slight 2.5-point favorite, now down by the hook, officially live on FanDuel, 2 points in favor of OKC. How do you see this marquee matchup playing out tonight between the Thunder and the Cavs?
Yeah, I lost round number one. I thought OKC on the road getting 3.5 to 4 points, whatever they closed at there, was the opportunistic path to take. It didn't work out in my direction, but I'm buying the dip on this one, too, in this. You have -3 as the opening line at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's now down live to -2 right here. Other outlets showing 1.5. So it looks like you are getting some action on the Cavaliers. Estimated starting lineups on both sides. Superstars will be in both sides. Everybody's going to be watching this game. I just think Cleveland might just be the slightly better team at this time, and I'll take the points. They won round number one, and expectations for me, they're going to win round number two as well. Give me the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road to knock off OKC tonight.
The Cavs have only been an underdog 3 times on this historic start that has seen the NBA's best record. Of course, the Cavaliers 34-5, OKC 33-6, the two best teams in the NBA separated by only a game. So back to Cleveland as a dog, perfect. 3-0 against the spread, 2 outright victories against the Knicks, the Bucks early in the year, and a cover against the Celtics not all that long ago, but did end up losing that game, one of the 5 losses the Cavaliers have suffered this season. OKC has been the best cover team in the NBA the last 2.5 years. This year as a favorite, 24-11-3 against the spread. Now time for my favorite game in every NBA game that OKC plays in with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on the floor. But his points prop 32.5. Death taxes around right a 30-point performance from SGA. Mm-hmm. He had 31 last week on the road in Cleveland. 84 points, DRS, in the third quarter between these two teams, which is really why we pushed over that total around 229.5 to 30. It wasn't an overly high-scoring game for all 48 minutes, but the 12 minutes after the break, a lot of offense did we see. Elsewhere in the NBA tonight, keep an eye on those Detroit Pistons, 2.5-point favorite tonight against Indiana. Detroit, 2 games above 500, 21-19. The Pacers had a 6-game win streak snapped earlier this week without Tyrese Halliburton, but still 22-19. Short spread in the Motor City. What do you like?
Yeah, just reading the line here. You take a look at a team that's getting less of a ticket count on Detroit. That line opened up at 3, still staying around that 2.5-point margin. Other outlets showing as high as 3.5. I'll buy the Detroit Pistons because that line looks like an eye-opener. Pacers getting points from the Pistons. Give me the Pistons at home here, and I'll lay the 2.5.
Don't see any props on Tyrese Halliburton for tonight. Maybe going to miss this game, which could lead to Indiana as a slight road dog, but a tie maybe to back Detroit. The Kings were also on a 7-game win streak this week. That came to a close under interim head coach Doug Christie, losing to Milwaukee. But the second best team, DRS, in the Western Conference, it's the Houston Rockets. Yet they're getting 4 points tonight in California's capital. Second leg of a road back-to-back for the Rockets. They could be missing some players this evening.
Yeah, 227.5 down to 226 there. That's the reasoning as well. Worried about that anticipated starting lineup tonight. But for me, the Sacramento Kings lighting the beam tonight. That line opened up here in FanDuel in New Jersey at 3.5. We now see the 4s. I like where that direction is going here. I'll lay the 4 points with the Kings at home to take care of the Rockets.
Yes. Yeah. Feels fitting, and if that lineup, in fact, is estimated as we believe, that line could work even more to the Kings for tonight's late-night matchup out in Northern California. By the way, Houston in the first leg of the back-to-back against the Nikola Jokic-less Denver Nuggets last night, won by 20, 128-108 on the road at altitude. Jalen Green, 34 points. Houston, second-best record in the Western Conference, 27-12. Divisional round best bets from the mind of one Donnie Wrightstein. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Donnie Wrightside has a big weekend ahead because it is the divisional round of the NFL postseason with a doubleheader of NFL playoff action on each Saturday and Sunday. My man's working a double. Saturday Pro Football Today, Sunday Pro Football Today as well. So he needs his rest. He's not going to be here tomorrow for a Football Friday. That is fine. That's what we've had throughout this NFL season. But that doesn't mean he gets off the hook without giving you a best bet for each and every of our four divisional round matchups for this upcoming weekend. DRS, it is widely considered one of the best weekends of football each and every season. Why? It's not a jam-packed slate. It's not 16 games on a Sunday because it is the best of the best in the most significant matchup of a season, trying to earn a spot in a conference championship. And that is why we get everybody ready with your best bets and your thoughts on the divisional round.
I love it, too, and I'm excited because, you know, the tickets will start going into place. You know me, Ben. You follow me on X, follow me on Twitter here. I love to show the people exactly what I get, where we can get down, and how much fun we can have on those. And I have some pretty good ideas heading into today. You now have the practice report starting to take shape. Who's injured? Who's not injured? Who's going to get that gameplay? Another day closer to taking a look at some of these weather patterns. But we should be able to make some educated decisions already today, which will help us profit on Saturday and Sunday, no doubt.
There's spreads, there's totals, there's props to all dive through. We go game by game, conference by conference, and we start in the AFC with the final game of four of the divisional round weekend. It's the game of the week, as we all expect it. In Buffalo, the Bills host the Ravens. Minus 118, the number that slightly favors the flock. 51.5 is the total. Throughout this show, Donnie, and even yesterday, we talked about the idea that as the odds expect, this game should be incredible, an instant classic that lives in NFL playoff lore. But as we break down the game and try to handicap it, do you agree with the odds makers? Do you give the Ravens the slight edge in Western New York?
I do. I think the Ravens are the better overall team. It's not to say, well, then, Donnie, you're hating on the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills are a wonderful team with an unbelievable quarterback, a fun season, and a great home field advantage. But as Tom Vecchio was on and pointing out, the same way we were all doing last year in the AFC playoffs, the Ravens to me last year were the best team in the NFL if they just stuck to the game script. They got away from their game script. They got beat by Kansas City because I honestly believe they were better than Kansas City last year. They should have beat them, and then they would have beat the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Take two this year. Same sort of scenarios. Great football team coming in healthy at the positions they need to be. Now, granted, Zay Flowers looks like he's going to miss this game. That does hurt somewhat. Maybe he's back in later games. But the MO for this franchise is run the football, play good defense, you'll win the game. Cold weather environment, everything fits exactly, Ben, what they want to do. So for me, I would lay the -1.5 for the Baltimore Ravens in this game. I think it absolutely makes sense. And you see the total at 51.5. And I just told you, the game script for the Ravens should be running the football, which means picking up chunk yardage, that clock running repeatedly. Use the passing and your skills of your quarterback, which are tremendous, but use them efficiently. 25 pass attempts or less is perfect here. Run the football, but also, Ben, if we're looking and saying, do you like any props here? Which way would you go in this football game? Would it be wide receiver? Would it be running back? I'm actually going quarterback, and not quarterback yardage on the ground, quarterback attempts. And that's with Lamar Jackson at the FanDuel Sportsbook, who's listed, Ben, at 9.5 rushing attempts. The reason you like this is, if the game plan is for them to run on football, you know Lamar's going to have designed runs absolutely earlier in that game. But let's just say, things aren't going according to plan for the Baltimore Ravens, Ben. They're down a touchdown or more in the second half. Well, Lamar's going to drop back to pass more, which means if the pass rush is getting home, he's going to be able to scramble and run out repeatedly. And once again, if I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to win the football game, you might get three rushes by taking knees, Ben, at the end of the game. I think it makes a lot of sense that this prop will be engaged all four quarters, no matter what the score is. That's what I like here. Lamar Jackson using his legs at least 10 times in this game for rushing attempts.
I like that idea, DRS. We saw both teams for both of their quarterbacks contending for the NFL MVP hardware, not just have them scramble out of the pocket and break contain in the opening round, but designing plays to utilize the athleticism. 15 carries for Lamar in the big victory against the Steelers, 81 yards on the ground in the first matchup. You really can't compare week four, end of September. But the Ravens ran it for more than 270 yards, 8 yards per carry. They were dominant on the ground. Derrick Henry, his number flirting with 100. James Cook, only 55.5. The Ravens have been the best rushing defense all season long entering this matchup, including the playoff victory against the Steelers, only allowing about 77 yards per game to the opposition on the ground. And one thing, Donnie, that is sensational about this game, it's not just what we expect for it to be an all-timer in the postseason, but the narratives that will follow individually this season, the MVP race between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, and a couple of fan bases trying to bolster the campaigns for their quarterbacks that now don't really care for one another. There's not long-standing bad blood between Buffalo and Baltimore, but there kind of is now entering this game. And the narratives as well, DRS, for these franchises, for these quarterbacks to change their playoff tunes. Lamar Jackson, 3-4 in his NFL postseason career. Josh Allen and the Bills have won the AFC East now 5 consecutive seasons, but have only played in an AFC championship game once. They have been ousted from the divisional round each of the previous 3 years. Who elevates their franchise's ceiling? Who changes that narrative come Sunday evening? There is so much at stake in Western New York. All right, first game of the weekend, first game of two in the AFC to a very familiar spot, Arrowhead Stadium, with the Kansas City Chiefs once again the one seed in the AFC in an 8.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. Lowest total of the weekend, 41.5. And in the natural questions, DRS, for this game and how you see it playing out is a two-parter. Number one, can the Texans keep this game within margin, that 8.5-point spread? Number two, if so, might the Texans be able to actually play spoiler and pull off the outright upset against Kansas City?
You know, normally you just say fit the mold of what you've seen for the season. I can't fault people for doing that. The minute you see an 8.5, you go, that's ridiculous. We think Kansas City is going to win. By no way, shape, or form, they can cover. But understand this. Ben and I talked about this, you know, earlier in the week. This is maybe the best bye week coach in the history of professional sports, getting your team ready. Steve Spagnuolo, there's a reason where, even though he's in his mid-60s, is now starting to get calls once again to be a head coach. He has been phenomenal. This defense is actually getting healthier as the season goes along, an extra advantage now in that secondary for them. Rested and ready, they should be able to jump off the football. Now, will they carry that through? Do they get that lead at 14-3 and coast to a 14-10 lead? You understand the point because they've been doing that all season long. But if I think I'm getting the best effort I can out of the Kansas City Chiefs in game number one right out of the gate in the playoffs, this is probably your chance to strike. I see that 41.5 and I say to myself, I don't know how much scoring the Houston Texans will be doing on offense, so I do lean under there. But I got to tell you, I don't think I'm playing the side, but if there's one chance that you might be able to take Kansas City, where everybody looks at that line and goes, 8.5 is ridiculous. And as we always say, Ben, that line is there for a reason. Wasn't made up where they picked it out of a hat. It's there for a reason. I think we might see a double-digit victory for the Kansas City Chiefs. So let me squeeze this in. This might be one of the tougher games prop-wise that I'm having trouble with. Is it going to be buying secondary options like a John Metchie with the Metchie at 33.5 or maybe Mixon 17.5 receiving yards? Because I do think Houston is down. I'm probably looking for pass catchers for Houston tacking on in the second half.
And Nico Collins has been that top target for C.J. Stroud all year. Under Stroud, the Texans are 11-7 against the spread as an underdog with 8 outright victories, including each of the previous 2 wild card weekends in the NFL. The Chiefs are perfect, 5-0 straight up as a touchdown favorite or more this year, but 0-5 against the spread. Now to the NFC next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Will Donnie's Birds advance to an NFC Championship game a weekend from now? Because we start our division around best bets with DRS for our first game of two on Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern time in the city of brotherly love. At the link, it's the Eagles and the Rams. Philly booked as a 6.5-point home favorite. Total stands at 44 and a hook. DRS nearly a touchdown spread, but not quite there in favor of the Eagles. How competitive will our first game of two on Sunday end up being?
It's going to be fun. I'm going to be cheering. I'm going to be loud in my living room. I hope it's really cold because the dome team's going outdoors. The Eagles have the advantage. Number one, they're the better football team. Number two, they beat the Rams early in the season. They're working on a day extra rest here, and they've been at home for multiple weeks. So I do believe two games at the end of the season that end at Lincoln Financial Field, a playoff game, and then another one, they haven't been able to even get on a train in a month. That is a massive advantage to what we're going up against for the Rams. But how the game plays out to me, you understand this. It's going to be Saquon Barkley and the effectiveness of the Eagles' offensive line. Now, as Ben pointed out, there's no discounts that you're getting now. Hey, let's just bet Saquon to run the football. It's 111 yards. If you ask me right now, Donnie, free bet, does he get it? I'd probably say yes. Why? Because it seems like he gets that every single week. Last week, Ben, one of my favorite wagers was over 19 and a half carries for Saquon Barkley. He ended up with 25. He'll be in that similar range. If you're looking to buy low at the running back position, I told you, Kenny Gainwell under 10 yards. I think he's coming in somewhere around 8.5 to 9.5 yards right now at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He gets three carries, he's going to get that. But if we're centering our positions in this game, do I think the Eagles win? Yes, I do, which means I'm going to think they're covering. Same way I thought last week against the Green Bay Packers. The total in this football game, 44.5, Ben. I'm thinking this game actually stays under the total because the ground game will be significant for the Philadelphia Eagles. So playing into what I'm talking myself into for per se is, well, why don't you just take Saquon Barkley, maybe a Saquon touchdown? I think those are valid here, but I do think it relies on Jalen Hurts. Even in the game he got injured, Ben, and played one quarter against Washington, he still had 41 yards rushing. You also saw him last week with the ability for the tush push and taking knees at the end of the game. He will be running the football, but it's not so much a Lamar Jackson where I'm taking an over 9.5 prop where I want 10 rushes. I just want the yards out of Jalen Hurts. 39.5. Let's just say he gets 7 carries in this game and he stays under 39.5. I will live with that at this point here. I do think there's a chance for him to hit his longest rush prop, which he hit last week, and doing the same thing. When it comes to playoff games, man, you'll find me talking so much more about the quarterbacks themselves, but if they're mobile quarterbacks, being the ability to run the football and use it. You can even use it in college football. When you take a look at Notre Dame's quarterback, Riley Leonard, hey, let's keep you under 10 carries per game. We can't use you up. Once you get to the college football playoff, there's no tomorrow, 13, 14, 15 carries here. And the fact of the matter is, the tush push is so big. Anytime they get into a short yardage situation, that's 2 to 3 yards that you pick up that no other quarterback would be getting here. So my attack angles, the Eagles to win this football game. I like the under even more, but Jalen Hurts rushing over 39.5 yards. I really like that specifically if we do get some elements as well, Ben.
It was Jalen Hurts' first game since week 16, nearly a month last weekend at home against Green Bay. Still ran it a decent amount, 36 yards on the ground. And Donnie, again, Philadelphia not tasked with doing much offensively. They will need to be better in this matchup against the LA Rams. But it almost served then as a good opportunity for Hurts to shake the rust off, get his feet back under him, and get ready for the division around. Matthew Stafford on the other side also has not had to do much for the LA Rams here as of late to end out the regular season, to clinch the division, and in that opening playoff game against Minnesota. 209 yards and 2 touchdown tosses all coming in the opening half. Tyler Higbee expected to play. He was huge for that Rams offense in the opening half. The offensive numbers of that game specifically at the link fascinate me because it should be dominant defense on display. And yet the total is creeping its way up. For what reason? 44.5 is the number right now. Saturday night cap in Detroit. The Lions' first ever time as a one seed in a conference in franchise history. The largest number in favor of a team this weekend. It's 9.5 that Detroit is laying. It's the highest total of the division around at 55.5. So Donnie, how do you make sense of those big numbers on Saturday night at Ford Field?
Then there's a really good chance that, yes, Detroit can run the Washington Commanders out of the building, not because Washington isn't a good football team, but Detroit rested and ready, healthy at home, getting players back. That is a recipe for disaster for Washington. But let's see this game get 55 points and what actually would happen for them to get that. We're not going to be kicking field goals. We said that multiple times. These two teams are ultra aggressive and fantastic at converting fourth down opportunities. And if you are the Commanders as close to a 10-point underdog coming into the game, the coaches don't look at it like that, but they know they're the dogs. Field goals don't beat Detroit in Detroit. That's not happening here. You must outscore them, which means score more touchdowns than them. Whether you're playing a prop of over 2.5 touchdowns scored for the Washington Commanders, I think that makes sense. But also understand this. If we're not kicking field goals, that's extra opportunity opportunities for touchdowns, because if you're betting an anytime touchdown market and kicking four field goals, that hurts you. That's four possessions and four chances that you could have gone for it on fourth down theoretically to get touchdowns. Let's just say half of those convert into touchdowns. You're looking also against your quarterback, Jaden Daniels, multiple games in a row with two or more touchdown passes. I understand how this game flow should go. It's not Washington keeping the football, which I think they want to do, and running it themselves. It's Jaden Daniels being electric in the pocket and going toe-to-toe with that Detroit defense. I would be shocked if this game was somewhat close and Jaden Daniels threw for less than one touchdown or less. He's throwing two touchdowns. I missed the best of the number, which was up there yesterday at FanDuel at plus 114. I think it's down around like that plus 100 range. But Jaden Daniels to throw two touchdowns, he's going to be throwing the entire game, not going on fourth down. And I think their wide receivers have a slight edge over that Detroit secondary. That's the way I play this game from a prop angle, Ben.
I love a DRS. It is something that Jaden Daniels did in his playoff debut last week. Also on the road in Tampa, 268 yards, multiple touchdown tosses. Was also the Commanders' leading rusher. That is a story for this game in my mind. I think the main storyline is what you alluded to, both from the outcome, but certainly from the odds. Those fourth down tries and conversions between two very aggressive head coaching philosophies. If they are able to convert, that means this game pushes to 55.5. If they miss, there goes some scoring opportunities. DRS, have a wonderful divisional round weekend. I'll miss you,
can't wait.
But I'll be watching. Enjoy the money line on this Thursday as well. We round out the show next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. We end out our show with a break from the division around. We've previewed the five-game slate in the NBA. How about some more college basketball on this Thursday? Maybe not as good of a slate on this Thursday evening as we have seen on Tuesday or Wednesday around the country, but still some very intriguing matchups. How about Gonzaga? Top 20 team, the Bulldogs under Mark Few. It's what we've come to expect in the past two decades in a West Coast Conference game, WCC action in Corvallis against Oregon State. The Beavers and the Cougs, that would be of Washington State, of course, remained in the Pac-12, if you will, but rather independent throughout the FBS college football season. In college basketball, they are legitimate conference members in the WCC. They had a scheduling alliance in football with the Mountain West, but legit members in basically every other sport, including basketball, in the WCC, a conference that Gonzaga has thoroughly dominated for the last decade plus. Gonzaga is perfect this year in WCC play, 5-0, but a double-digit favorite in all five conference games for the Dogs this year, and the Zags are just 1-4 against the spread. This a single-digit number on the road in Corvallis, and Oregon State as an underdog this year, 3-1 ATS. I do believe that line is telling, maybe expecting a more competitive game between Gonzaga and Oregon State tonight. Memphis, 8.5-point favorite in American action as they head on the road to take on Temple in Philly. Now a little bit of Big Ten basketball, if you will. Michigan, number 20 in the country. I do not believe that ranking is truly reflective of how good Dusty May and his Wolverines have been in his first year in Ann Arbor. They are ridiculous, and they are so efficient offensively because they have a unicorn in the Yale transfer in Danny Wolfe. He is 7 feet tall, but he plays the game like a 6-foot point guard. He distributes. He facilitates. He orchestrates an offense that is performing at a very, very high clip. And it's not just the one 7-footer in Danny Wolfe that does everything. It's the other 7-footer that followed his head coach Dusty May from Boca Raton. That's Vlad Goldin, who has been a physical and dominant presence, in the interior and in the post this year for the Maize and Blue. Now, Minnesota is perhaps the worst team in the Big Ten. The Barn is always a difficult place to win in conference action. This line probably inside the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor would be closer to 13.5, 14 points. It's still double digits. I do believe Michigan wins this game. Is it a trappy spot? Eh, I do believe the Wolverines remain undefeated in the Big Ten. If Michigan wins tonight, as their arch rivals at Michigan State did yesterday night, both the Spartans and the Wolverines would be the only undefeated team still standing in Big Ten play. Perfect at 6-0. That is going to make for a very compelling storyline throughout the remainder of this Big Ten slate. Two teams of the Wolverines and the Spartans battling it out for a Big Ten title. Now that would be very, very fun. Nebraska at home inside Pinnacle Bank Arena. Well, a difficult place to win for Big Ten foes and regular foes alike. 20 consecutive wins for the Cornhuskers inside the vault in Lincoln, inside PBA. It's why the Huskers are laying 8.5 points against Rutgers. A critical win for the Scarlet Knights over the weekend inside Pinnacle Bank, inside Jersey Mike's Arena, otherwise known as the Rack. A game that Rutgers had to have. A game that Rutgers got. Now, with that being said, the Scarlet Knights on the road, a very different story, especially heading to Lincoln. But if Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, the outstanding true freshman for Steve Peichel, can perform, might this game be close tonight? Our boss, Greg Sussman, and his Terps, a precarious start to this Big Ten slate, only laying 1.5, a short spread as they head to Northwestern tonight against the Wildcats in that matchup. We'll see what Chris Collins and his Cats have tonight for the Terps. How about some CUSA action? Liberty, one of the better mid-major programs in this sport, laying 9.5 points against UTEP. So, not exactly the most marquee of slates on this Thursday night in college basketball, but again, some really great games to pay attention to. And it sets the stage for tomorrow, a Football Friday, live right here on the Early Line, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern. Picks, previews, best bets for the entirety of the divisional round. We'll talk to you then.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.